It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 343 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Camille Collin.
Nice.
I hope I said your name right.
Thanks, Camille.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Is this really a new chapter?
Travel down the road and back again.
Ba-dum. Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
The number of the episode really threw me off, and I'm surprised I said it right.
It sounded like it threw you off, but you rolled with it real nice.
Aw, thanks.
Yes.
Well, my friends, today, we will be discussing part one of chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Goblin's Revenge. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to trick your way through the details.
Ayo.
I'm...
Actually, I'm going to need you to recap this.
I kind of like that my man Drake is here because...
What?
Gives me a little bit of separation from these two crazies.
Dang.
Dong? What'd you say?
Dong?
You got it.
I was going to say dong.
Well, I tried to edit a swear, and then you're over here dropping dong.
So now you just made more work for you.
Dong, 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 dong.
Edit out my own dong.
I ain't got one of those.
No. I'm gonna play with this so I don't have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Put him away.
Dustifer. Dustifer said, how dare you, Meg? You're lead crazy.
I'm lead crazy?
What? Like you're captain crazy of the team.
Oh. I did not understand, but now I do.
The dog!
If you were a Horcrux Monopoly piece, which piece did you want to be?
The dog.
Oh, man.
Okay, recap. I'll just start. Ready? Wait, did that happen?
I said cube.
No, but did this happen? Did I make that up?
Yeah, he was wearing it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We just talked about how he had it on and he was having intrusive thoughts.
Harry takes first turn with keeping the Horcrux close to his body, which we all said in the last episode is dumb. There's other ways to do it. You hide everything else in your socks, Harry. Why not this? Just saying. So Harry and Hermione take turns taking watch. I don't think Ron does yet.
He's sick.
Yeah, not sick hand. Sick arm?
Sick
bicep.
Sick flesh.
Sick flesh.
Well, it got scooped away.
Ew. His scar starts prickling again. And before he knows it, he's looking at Grigorovich through Voldy's eyes. But where has he seen that thief before?
Your mom. Hmm.
It was Gelly.
The green thief.
Good old Grindy Poo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Schmoopsie.
Lemon drop.
My little lemon drop.
Oh, no, what's your little brandy?
It's my turn.
Bit more.
That's a boy.
Bit more.
Don't you dare.
Sorry. And then if you watch them in the back, they're just literally doing this.
I know. What the heck?
Oh, man. God. Anywho, we're camping. The vibes are not vibing. It's not fun. This is not a good time.
They're not making s'mores.
This is not glamping.
No. They may have a magic tent.
It's a little bit like glamping with their tent situation.
But they don't have food.
I mean, yeah.
But they do have a toilet.
There's tea.
They have tea.
There's tea.
Now I want tea.
I want tea.
Well. Okay, but it's sad glamping. Okay.
It's Horcrux glamping.
It's hamping.
Hamping. Anyways. So before Ron and Hermione woke up the next morning, Harry took the liberty of going out in the surrounding wooded area to choose the most worn, resilient, and gnarled-looking tree that he could find. And if you didn't remember, he's still holding on to an eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
That's so much time.
Ew, I'm picturing Hercules when Hades picks up the eyeball and pulls off the hair.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Still had that one in his pocket.
What if he sat on it on accident?
I don't think it's squishy. I don't think it's squishy. Do you think it's squishy?
What? Squishy? The eye?
Oh, yeah. I never thought about it. Is it? But what are?
No, because it's like a prosthetic eye.
Right.
Okay.
So no, I don't think it's squishy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no squish. So anyways, he's going to bury Mad-Eye Moody's eye. And he marks the spot by gouging a small cross into the bark of the tree. And there's another connection that we have again with Christianity and a cross symbolizing Jesus dying on the cross during the crucifixion. And definitely is a worldwide known symbol of like the mark of a Christian. Like if somebody's wearing a cross around their neck, you might put two and two together. Although sometimes now it's just jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your speed. Cool. But it's also a very common grave marker. Right?
True.
Thank you. Okay. It's nothing extravagant. But I think as like hard and worn as Mad-Eye Moody was, I feel like he would really appreciate this and it would mean a lot to him that Harry did this. I would venture to guess that he wouldn't want like a big to-do about his life and a funeral and whatnot. And I feel like he would prefer to be buried in this way. There's a lot of care and thought that goes into this, although it seems very like on the fly. Harry didn't have to do that this way, but I feel like it's very much a connection with the way that Harry mourns the loss of Dobby as well. Yeah. There's like work that goes into it,
mm-hmm.
and it's meaningful for him. So. The trio then decides that they shan't stay in one place for too long. We also need some food. Ron specifically wants a bacon sandwich. Is this like a BLT?
I'm looking it up.
I had one on Sunday. I had a BLT on Sunday.
Because isn't bacon in the UK a little bit different than ours?
Hold on.
Okay.
Apparently it's called a bacon buddy, like B-U-T-T-Y, the Great British Bacon Buddy. Why What's the bacon it? Buddy is the best breakfast sandwich, according to this website.
That looks like American bacon.
What do they put on it? American
bacon and Ireland was more like ham.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. The bacon buddy is a British sandwich consisting of crispy bacon. I like that. Butter and either HP sauce, which is brown sauce, or ketchup, all stuffed between two slices of soft white sandwich bread.
Okay, I could be down with that. That sounds good. No lettuce in sight.
Oh, man. So I totally understand Ron feeling this way. They do need to eat. So they lift the enchantments, they get rid of the markings on the ground, they cover their tracks, and they disapparated to the outskirts of a small market town. And once they have everything squared away at their new campsite, Harry takes the Cloak of Invisibility.
TM.
And ventures University. Out for some food. However, the town that they have chosen to go to is full of Dementor.
Wow, what a great place.
It's a great place. Ron is very angry about this. And this whole thing happens with Harry. Ron is protesting that Harry can make an amazing Patronus. And Harry's like, I absolutely couldn't do it. Patronus not having it. He is clutching a stitch in his side. So his only defense that he had in that moment was to run whatever the distance was back to the tent. If that's let you know, like, how dire of a situation it was. He couldn't even hide under the cloak. He had to get out of there.
Like, clearly it was bad, because if Harry Potter can't cast the Patronus, and he's very good at it, it was bad.
Correct.
You know?
Quote, their expressions of consternation and disappointment made Harry feel ashamed. It had been a nightmarish experience, seeing the Dementors gliding out of the mist.
They're making babies.
In the distance, and realizing as the paralyzing cold choked his lungs and a distant screaming filled his ears,
Lily,
that he was not going to be able to protect himself. It had taken all of Harry's willpower to uproot himself from the spot and run, leaving the eyeless Dementors to glide amongst the Muggles, who might not be able to see them, but would assuredly feel the despair they cast wherever they went.
Why do they have to be re-described as eyeless?
I hate that.
I don't know. So let's break this down, shall we? Harry is currently wearing the Horcrux, which prevents him from being able to cast a Patronus. Mm-hmm. He hears screaming in his ears. I'm thinking it's Lily, right? And he absolutely knows he's not going to be able to cast this. So that's... I don't know why Harry would leave with the Horcrux. Because if something got to him...
Yeah, that was dumb. Yeah,
no kidding.
Because the other two are in this, so they can carry on.
Yeah, why would you...
When Harry is no more, right? So I would think leaving that with them would have been a better idea. But, you know, Hermione figures it out in like 2 seconds. So Ron states the obvious and... is really insensitive when he does this. And he's like, we still don't have any food. And Hermione is like, how about you shut up and take several seats? And
they're all so angry.
So mad. Apparently, Harry had no trouble casting a Patronus the previous day. I'm thinking that maybe they were practicing. He wasn't wearing the Horcrux at that time when they were practicing. Because otherwise, why are we just like throwing Patronuses out? Quote, he sat low in one of Perkins's old armchairs, feeling more humiliated by the moment. He was afraid that something had gone wrong inside him. And this is absolutely not the first time that this has happened, that he felt like it was absolutely him.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in this book, he thought he still had the trace. Yesterday seemed a long time ago. Today he might have been 13 years old again, the only one who collapsed on the Hogwarts Express.
Throwback to three. Dustover pointed out that yesterday was the Ministry, and he cast a Patronus there. That was crazy that was just yesterday.
Oh my God, Dustifer. Thank you.
It feels like a million years.
It feels so long ago.
Who the heck is Eileen Prince?
Don't know. Some.
That's how I feel right now.
Character.
Anyway, yeah. So not practice, the real thing. But he wasn't wearing the Horcrux. But my heart really hurts for Harry, because he has felt like this a lot throughout the series, that like something is wrong with him, and that cannot be a good feeling to have, especially this much.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely would love to have backhanded Ron.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Bro needs to get a little bit of control over his feelings.
He is not.
Or his reactions, I guess.
Being kind in the slightest. What? He snarled at Hermione. I'm starving. All I've had since I bled half to death is a couple of toadstools. You go and fight your way through the Dementors then, said Harry, stung. Stung. This is laying foundation for later. I would, but my arm's in a sling in case you hadn't noticed. That's convenient. And what's that supposed to... Of course, cried Hermione. She didn't say it like that. Clapping a hand on her forehead, startling them both into silence. Harry, give me the locket. Come on, she said impatiently, clicking her fingers at him when he did not react. The Horcrux, Harry, you're still wearing it. Harry takes the Horcrux off immediately. Feels better physically, mentally. And then Hermione, being super duper cautious, she's like, have you been possessed?
What a question.
Oh my God. I'd like to know.
He immediately gets defensive and is like, what? No. And this actually, he makes a good point, because they actually do have an example of someone being possessed by Voldemort, and that's Ginny. So he says, I remember everything we've done while I've been wearing it. I wouldn't know what I'd done if I'd been possessed, would I? Ginny told me there were times when she couldn't remember anything. So that's like she didn't remember going and getting like the rooster or writing those things on the wall or any of that stuff.
Yeah. Poor Ginny.
So Hermione says maybe they shouldn't wear it, which is probably smart. But Harry disagrees. They cannot lose it. So now they decide to alternate wearing it, and Hermione is up next. But Ron is irritated, and he wants food now. So they had to move somewhere else to avoid the Dementors. And they found a lonely farm where they got some eggs and bread. And Hermione was very concerned about it being stealing. But she's like, it's not considered stealing if I leave some money under the chicken coop, right?
That's so Boom. Sweet.
Boom. Lightning bolt round. Would you leave cash money?
No.
If I had it to give, sure.
I surely would not.
No.
No, I'm saving that. Ain't nobody knows I'm stealing these eggs.
Literally.
I'm trying to save the world, okay?
I deserve some eggs.
I think you owe me some farm fresh eggs.
Oh my gosh. So after they're fed, they feel cheerful again. And Harry says maybe even a little hopeful. And
nothing like a good meal.
Well, it goes down to having your primary needs met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to happen first in order for other things to go swimmingly.
Yeah.
That's why I make sure my kids come in and they've eaten breakfast. If they tell me that they haven't, I turn the little butts right around and they go and they get it. And if they have to eat in the classroom during first period, then they have to eat in the classroom during first period. You're not going to start your day in my classroom without food. It's just not going to fly.
You're a good teacher.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. So this is a quote from the book. And I just thought it was like, it's like a little reality check kind of. And the author says, this was their first encounter with the fact that a full stomach meant good spirits. Yeesh. An empty one, bickering and gloom. It's a little bit of it's foreshadowing. Because we know that it's not going to be smooth sailing. Because we can tell right now that it's already a struggle to find food. So this is going to be a recurring thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry was used to this because mm-hmm. of the Dursleys, unfortunately, you know, being hungry. Hermione would get just like a little short, or she would go silent, and Ron would be unreasonable. And this word, irascible, I didn't know that word. It's having or showing a tendency to be easily angered.
Oh. Where is it in your notes?
It's after unreasonable and
irascible.
Irascible?
Irascible? Maybe it's irascible. Irascible?
Irascible?
Irascible. So Ron is just constantly asking, so where's next? And when he had the Horcrux on and he was hungry, he was like just unpleasant.
Bro, why don't you come up with where's next? Sitting there in your sling.
Right?
Ooh.
But Harry and Hermione.
Right now. He does suck right now.
He's really annoying right now. Harry and Hermione spend hours trying to think of where to go next, but they just keep going in circles because they don't have any new information. So it's getting repetitive because they're saying the same things over and over.
Yeah.
So Dumbledore had told Harry that he believed Voldemort had hidden the Horcruxes in places that were important to him. So they kept reciting them. And like all the places that they knew Voldemort had lived or visited. So the orphanage.
That would have never been it.
No.
No.
I don't know why that was on their little flow.
Right. Hogwarts, Borgin and Burks, then Albania. Mm. And these all formed the basis of their speculations. Ron, being sarcastic, as he is currently more than normal. Yeah, let's go to Albania. Shouldn't take more than an afternoon to search an entire country.
You're not helping Ron.
But literally.
Yeah.
Hermione does not take the bait, though. She just answered him saying, well, there can't be anything there. He'd already made 5 of his Horcruxes before he went into exile, and Dumbledore was certain the snake is the 6th, said Hermione. We know the snake's not in Albania. It's usually with Volt.
Oi! Yeah, oi. He's like, don't say it. And then Harry goes, you know who then? Shouts it. Harry says, if there's one place that was really important to you-know-who, it was Hogwarts. And Ron goes, oh, come on, his school. Which this right here shows the difference between, like, Ron grew up in the Wizarding World. He does take magic for granted. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but he's just used to it, right?
Yeah.
Harry, like, was transported out of an awful situation. He knows how much Hogwarts means to Voldemort because it means basically the same thing to him.
Very big connection with the two of them.
Yeah. He says, yeah, his school. It was his first real home. The place that meant he was special. It meant everything to him. And even after he left. And then Ron said, this is you know who we're talking about, right? Not you, bro.
That's
a deep dig.
Would have made me see red.
I don't know who said it in the chat, but they're like, I don't know how Harry and Ron didn't throw hands at all. Because, like...
Ron would have thrown one.
One hand.
One handy.
So at this time, Ron's wearing the Horcrux, and Harry thinks he wants to seize it and throttle him.
Yep.
So Hermione recites what Harry had told them. Voldemort asked Dumbledore to give him a job after he left school. Dumbledore thought that the only reason he wanted to come back was to try to find something, maybe a founder's object to make another Horcrux while he was there. So Hermione's like, well, he didn't get the job, so he never got the chance to find an object and hide in the school. Although, like, they don't know the exact timeline. But
well, they know what they know. And that's why it just keeps going in circles, because mm-hmm. they don't have any new information.
Well, they really needed to listen to Harry.
Yeah.
You're right.
He was right. Yeah. He's actually right a lot in this book. You know, for once.
That's why he moved up to Pink Lady Apple.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, that might put him like a little closer to like Honeycrisp.
Yeah. He's getting there
for those moments, you know,
especially with the Hallows.
When he opens up the clothes, Honeycrisp.
Correct.
Fully formed, ripe, delicious apple.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So poor Harry says, forget Hogwarts then, because he feels defeated. Like, both of them are saying, no, it can't be, blah, blah.
Idiocy.
But so, it I know. Literally is.
But for reals.
He's even touched it.
Oh my God, you're right. You're right. So they don't have any leads, like we've talked about. They traveled into London to search for the orphanage, and Hermione like snuck into a library and found out that it was demolished many years before, and now it's just an office building. And Hermione's like, should we dig in the foundations? Harry's like, no, and had known all along the Horcrux wouldn't be there, but like, it probably just felt like doing something instead of talking in repetitive circles, and at least they could cross it off their list. This is the one place that Voldemort wanted to escape from. He wouldn't hide a piece of his soul there. And Dumbledore had showed Harry through all of year 6 that Voldemort liked a little grandeur with his hiding places, like a little mystery behind it. Mm-hmm. And he's saying this dismal gray corner of London was as far removed as you could imagine from Hogwarts or the Ministry or a building like Gringotts, the Wizarding Bank, with its golden doors and marble floors. There's one at Gringotts, too.
There sure is.
Mm-hmm. Like, Harry's a seer.
I'm telling you.
And there was one at the Ministry.
Called it a long time ago.
Yep. Oh, my God. Yep. Not Meg. Tiffany. I called it a long time ago.
I did.
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating, but now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So they still don't have any new ideas. They're traveling through the countryside. They pick a new spot every night just for security.
That is exhausting.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So every 12 hours or so, they pass the Horcrux between them. And from the book, as though they were playing some perverse slow motion game of pass the parcel where they dreaded the music stopping because the reward was 12 hours of increased fear and anxiety.
Yay. You know what? I wouldn't have looked it up or known what pass the parcel was until Bluey.
I assumed it was like hot potato. Is it? Or is it different?
It's pass the parcel.
Is that different than hot potato?
Are we playing Lucky's Dad's rules or what?
I don't know. I haven't seen that episode.
Oh, what?
I'm sorry. Now I need to.
It's like, it's not like hot potato. You like pass a present around a circle and when the music stops, you get to open the gift at a party.
That's cool.
So Lucky's Dad's rules is there's only one gift. So there's a bunch of losers, right? Because kids need to learn how to lose.
Right.
Loser's not in a mean way to say, but you lose the game, you're a loser. but they have been playing where every kid gets a toy. So they'll like wrap present and present and present. And so it's like layers of toys inside. So Lucky, the kids started to like Lucky's Dad's rules because it was more exciting when they won because they were the singular winner and the other kids learned how to lose. And so I am a firm believer in Lucky's Dad's rules because I feel like kids need to properly learn how to lose.
I like it.
They do.
Yeah. That's not mean. It's just
Alana
life, man.
Used to lose her mind when she lost and now she's cool. I kicked her butt in Candyland the other day.
What about Monopoly?
I will not play.
Anyway though, 12 hours of increased fear and anxiety, that's if I forget my Zoloft in the morning. I understand.
Right.
Harry's scar continues to keep prickling, especially when he's wearing the Horcrux. That is of no surprise to me at all. And he can't always hide the pain of it all the time. And Ron would be like, "What'd you see?" And like Harry knows he's like hoping for some information about his family or the order or whatever. But Harry could only see what Voldemort was thinking exactly at the time. He couldn't just, from the book, not tune in to whatever took his fancy. But every time he felt that prickle, he saw that unknown youth.
Youth.
With the gleeful face. And Harry's sure Voldemort doesn't know his name either or his whereabouts any better than he did, which is good.
Well, when,
that would be,
when he knows, Harry will know.
Right.
He'll figure it out.
So he started to learn to suppress any sort of look of pain or discomfort when his scar hurt because Ron and Hermione were getting tired of the mention of this thief, even though he's very important.
He sure is.
Yeah. Days stretch into weeks. Harry's starting to be suspicious of Ron and Hermione that they're having conversations about him without him.
Well, guess what?
Yep.
They are.
From the book. Several times, they're so, so smooth, by the way. Several times they stopped talking abruptly when Harry entered the tent, and twice he came accidentally upon them, huddled a little distance away, heads together and talking fast. Both times they fell silent when they realized he was approaching them and hastened to appear busy collecting wood or water.
Hastened.
So he starts having, like, his own thoughts. Like, did they only agree to what now felt like a pointless journey because they thought there was going to be some secret plan that they were going to learn about? Ron didn't bother to hide his bad mood at all. Harry's getting...
I told you everything Dumbledore told me.
Right.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be staying at a five-horse...
A five-horse...
five-star hotel.
Five horse.
Sorry,
were you going to say five horcrux?
No, I was hotel and stars got mixed up. Yeah, in my brain.
I like six horse hotels.
Six horse hotel. Six horse?
It's not even on the scale.
Unattainable. And then Harry's starting to get anxious about Hermione thinking he's a bad leader. So the only place that keeps occurring to him is Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And he stopped bringing it up because none of the other ones wanted to talk about it.
It's like talking about the Hallows later on. They just like don't even want to hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Listen to him, man. Harry is the best hope we have. Trust him. So the season is changing to fall. And from the book to end this part of the chapter. The fact that Hermione was getting better at identifying edible fungi could not altogether compensate for their continuing isolation, the lack of other people's company, or their total ignorance of what was going on in the war against Voldemort.
That would have to be the hardest part. Just being totally ignorant in like anything that's going on.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, because they're not really in the position to like steal daily profits right now. And those are also not real.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least you would get something.
Fake news. Yeah.
All right. Lightning bolt round. Gil. How many muggles do you think were horribly affected by the Dementors and never knew?
During this time?
Thousands.
Probably a lot.
Definitely thousands.
Definitely more during this time than normal, but
they're breeding. They're everywhere.
And they don't really care what they're doing.
Do Dementor kiss when they breed?
I don't know. I was wondering that. I was like... What?
During...
You were wondering that?
No, she was not.
Okay, I was not wondering that. I was wondering if they Dementor kissed anyone willy-nilly.
No, when they breed.
Katie T asks, what would your sad glamping snack of choice be?
S'mores.
Am I sad? Is it a sad snack?
I think she meant
is it like
sad snack, like they had to eat mushrooms.
Oh.
I mean, probably mushrooms.
That's not a snack. Cold corn dogs.
Dude, I'd be living my best life. Hot, cold, give it to me.
What don't I like?
Stale goldfish.
Oh, those suck. Ooh.
Yeah, that's bad. You know what else is really bad, particularly stale? Tortilla chips.
Yeah.
They
of all
are.
The chips.
They are pretty
those
bad.
Those are the worst.
Yeah.
It's like eating cardboard.
Katie K, what food would you try to find if you had to search for food? I mean, eggs was a really good idea.
Eggs that was a great good. Idea.
I'd probably look for
some
berries.
Protein.
I would berries. What do they always eat in Sarah J. Maas books? Cheese and bread.
Cheese and bread.
How are you carrying cheese and bread around?
Cheese takes a long time to, like, mold.
Blue cheese is already moldy.
Yeah, that's why I don't eat it.
Oh, I love blue cheese. Hard cheese.
Maybe a fruit roll-up.
What year is it? We're in the 90s. Dunkaroos, perhaps?
Dunkaroos! And Gushers were big then, too, I think.
A Lunchable, maybe?
Oh, my God.
Capri Suns are popular right now.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Slim Jims would be a great option.
3D Doritos.
Oh, my God.
3D Doritos.
Crystal Pepsi.
What are those terrible wax pop-looking things with the juice inside?
Nickel Nip.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just looked up best 90s snacks.
Bubblicious.
We're hitting a lot of them. What about Squeeze-Its?
Oh, my God. I forgot about those.
Is that with the twisty top?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bagel Bites.
I could go ham on some pizza Bagel Bites.
Listen, all they needed was some Surge, and they would.
Oh, my God.
So much energy.
Surge.
Bugles.
I love
those are still around.
Witch Fingers.
Yep. How about some Scooby-Doo fruit snacks, particularly the blue Scooby one?
I don't know if I had those. I know that Scooby snacks are like graham crackers right now.
No, these. No, those are wrong.
Pizza Lunchable would be good.
These. The blue, they were so blue.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've eaten that.
You know what I'm talking about?
The blue guys.
It was those were so good.
A Happy Meal, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like decent toys and not the garbage they give today.
The Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies. Anything Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating the Beanie Babies?
Do you remember the Furbies?
No.
The McDonald's toy Furbies. They were little. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love them. Okay. I'm going to ask two more because. Because
we just took a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
Playing footy.
That was you. I didn't even move my foot.
I know. I said I'm. Oh. I thought I did at least.
Gil, do you think Ron has some unconscious sexism / defaults to gender roles, considering he thinks Hermione should do all of the cooking? Hard yes.
Oh, see, I think in the next episode, no.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's being truthful when he says that she's supposed to be the best at magic.
Yeah, but I do...
There is an argument there because mm-hmm. out of the three of them, Ron has the most to like deconstruct out of.
Yeah.
And he does a good job of it through the series.
He doesn't really help at all. He didn't even know how to freaking use a knife. Do you know what I mean?
Ronald Weasley.
So I feel like it would be Hermione, Harry, him. I think it's more incompetence than sexist.
I could, you know what? I mean, could see that.
For sure.
Because I just don't, I, but he obviously knows that Hermione is like, absolutely brilliant, like knocks him down a peg every lesson, like she's amazing, and I think that maybe before her he could have,
yeah,
but I think after her I was gonna say.
I feel like maybe in the past he could have thought those things, but
yeah,
maybe now that's not the case,
especially having a sister like not. Ginny as well,
right?
I don't know, that's just me though.
I dig it. You've made me change my mind.
Happy to be here.
Dusty Fur, why do you think Ron and Hermione don't want to even consider Hogwarts as a potential hiding place, especially with, at the least, their knowledge of the Room of Requirement?
I think that it's an underlying level of fear.
It's really scary. I mean, look at what they just got out of.
At the Ministry.
Yeah.
And then at this place is the dude that killed Dumbledore.
Right.
And I want to go in there with known Death Eaters that were also there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that they're just afraid, just as it, like, Hermione was afraid to go to Godric's Hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But they also don't understand Voldemort the way that Harry does. And honestly, if you look back at Half-Blood Prince, like, it was brilliant for Dumbledore to take the time to get to know Tom Riddle, just as like he took the time to get to know Harry, and Harry definitely like notes that verbatim when counting on Harry to like finish this insane, enormous job. So I think that they're afraid.
Yeah.
And Harry knows better, but they're just not ready yet to listen to that.
All right. Discord discourse. Sarkur talking about Ron. He's probably anemic and hungry. I'm not defending Ron, but I would be Ron right now. Give me food and treat me like a princess.
I mean, I get it. Jinx Yomi Coke.
Oh, no. I swallowed that one.
Oh, baby one.
Oh, my God.
Team Petrus.
Sucks to suck.
Urge to slam your laptop shut.
What did I do?
Oh no, Megan got it.
She did.
She did.
Wanna play it back?
She did.
It's like somebody didn't get taught to lose as a kid.
No, I didn't. I just teach other people to lose.
Is it fan story time?
Yeah.
Oh man. This comes from Zach Robles. June 2022. Hello, my name is Zach, House Ravenclaw, Patronus, Husky, yes, the dog, love it.
Nice. It's
amazing.
Wand, Hazelwood, Dragon Core, 12.5 inches long, unbending flexibility. So my Potter story starts back in fourth grade. My mom and stepdad saw this book and was like, I bet he will like this book. So I got the first two and started reading. This actually led to the discovery that I had dyslexia and that this was one of the reasons I never did good in that subject. So my mom went to our library and actually got me the cassette tapes and a cassette player so I could listen to them. That's a good mom.
What? You said mom so Cleveland.
Mom.
It's a ma'am.
So Cleveland. So I finished them and was like, I really like them, and that was it. I unfortunately never got that Potter craze the first time around. I was 8 or 9 now. I had seen the movie and saw all of them in theaters, and I was like, I love it. It's sad to see it end, and that was that. Boy, was I wrong. Mm-hmm. Now skip ahead in my life almost 20 years later-ish. It's November. My wife and I are having a very dark time in our relationship, and I went down a very, very dark hole. To say it was depression is not enough of a dark word. Mm. Well, one day at work, someone suggests I listen to books on an app called Audible. They have self-help books for free and said it might help me in dark times. Well, I just finished the Fantastic Beasts movies and was like, I'll look up the Harry Potter books on Audible. I got really lucky. I was able to get all the books at a very good price on Audible. Plus, when I signed up, it was my birthday month of December.
Nice.
And Audible had given me a good price on some credits. So, of course, I listened to all of them back to back to back. You get the picture. Well, with listening to the books, I started to pull myself out of my dark place, but I wasn't out of the darkness completely. I was still feeling depressed. My now ex-wife was engaged to a new man and moving in with him, and all I had was Harry Potter to keep me going. I looked at it like this. If this 18-year-old can go through all of this and come out still believing in good, then what I'm going through can be overcome. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Can be overcome, and I can be stronger for it. So I had recently discovered podcasts about mythical creatures, and one episode was about dragons. Well, of course, I followed down that rabbit hole till I found Swish and Flick podcast.
Oh, hi.
Now, enter y'all podcast. I couldn't get enough. I was like, oh my God, here's a podcast that is literally saying what I'm thinking and even had me looking at things differently. I've been so invested in y'all's podcast, my problems all seem to disappear.
What? Aww. I love it.
Now I'm out of my depression and everything is fixed, unfortunately, not.
Is
everything fixed? Unfortunately not. But every day I listen to you guys, and while I listen, I can let myself be happy. I've even cried a few times with you guys. Mm. Yes, I know, kind of lame. It's not lame.
Nah.
But you guys get so passionate about some things, I can't help it. Mm. It's like, here I found people who have some of the smart ideas as me, same theories as me, and even some disagreements, but in good ways. So I would just like to say thank you, and I hope you'll never quit doing this for people like me out there. P.S. I do have 4 kids and hope to show this to them one day. P.P.S. Yes, it's a long story and I'm proud of it. Yes!
As you said, babe!
Oh my God.
Thank you.
That was so sweet. I don't even have words.
Yeah. Thank you for your story.
I'm glad we could be there for you.
Yeah, I'm glad Potter's there for you. I'm glad that your mom found a way for you to enjoy books, and then you found a new way of the same way to enjoy books with Audible. That's how I get through a lot of books now, is Audible, because I can't make myself sit and read. So at least if I'm doing something, I can still read.
Yep, absolutely.
So thank you for your story. All right, joke time. Which house would the Sorting Hat place a dog?
Rufus.
Gryffindor.
Oh, I'll take all the jukes.
Very cute. If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Peters Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_Flick. We did get a bingo tonight. Carolyn from Ravenclaw.
Big surprise!
and this recording is going to wrap up this round of House Cup points. Oh my God.
Is this the second year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dang. We've already done 2 years of this.
I know, right?
That's bananas.
So the standings are Ravenclaw in first, Gryffindor in second, Hufflepuff in third, and Slytherin and forth.
No, you're supposed to read it backwards.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to do it again?
No.
No, we're good.
Congratulations, Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Congrats, Ravenclaw.
Truly, congrats. We are happy for you, so, you dirty birdies.
2 years in a row, right?
No. Hufflepuff won last year.
Oh, yeah. You idiot!
I'm not used to being a winner. Third or nothing.
You're a good loser.
Good job, Claws.
No, congrats, Ravenclaw. I know I give you guys garbage, but you deserve it. Oh, good job to all of our Ravenclaws in the chat. And those of you that show up for trivia, those are big points, too. So, like, good job.
Slytherins, we need work.
Yeah, Snakes, where you at? Do we have in the grass?
Did we say how many points they ended up with? At least Ravenclaw?
No. Sorry.
15,339.
That's the points.
That's points.
That's points.
What's this episode for?
We'll do it for the Ravenclaws.
Yeah.
Good job, Ravenclaw.
Do it for the claws.
Do it for the claw. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, right. Happy early birthday to Harry Potter and happy birthday today to Neville Longbottom.
And happy almost
early birthday to Swish.
Yeah. Not birthday, but episode release day. Episode like release official day. Release.
7 years of this. You guys, can you even believe that?
No.
It's 7 years insane. Of
podcasting has been dropped on the internet highway.
Seven. 7 years.
It's kind of gross. What? A 7-year-old kid, man. We got a second grader up in here.
Yep. Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's I was gonna say something else, but yeah, good job, Ravenclaw. That's for you.
Did you see what she said?
Mac energy.
I listened to 7 years of podcasting in 8 months.
Woo! It's a good thing you run a lot.
It's awesome.
All right, guys, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening for 7 years, and don't let the Muggles get you down.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.